You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
You're tuned into The Wire. 1 hour of current affairs and analysis starting now.
Tēnā koutou, katoa, ko Jessica toku ingoa, no mai hari mai ki te Wire mō tēnei rā. Kia ora and welcome to The Wire for Rahina Monday. I'm your host, Jessica, and I'll be with you for the next hour. I'm also joined in the studio by producers Caden and Alex. Ewhai aki nei coming up on the show, Hannah speaks to Te Pāti Māori's Takutai Kemp about the Inland Revenue Department's High Wealth Individuals Research Report, as well as the underfunding of Kura Kaupapa. I also chat to ex Karen Chaw about the Inland Revenue Department report and a possible congestion charging scheme. And lastly, I talked to community pharmacy owner in Te Awa Mutu and member of the Prescription Access Initiative, Gina Perry, about their calls to remove prescription fees for medication. Caden, what have you got for us today?
I spoke to Evan O'Shea and Gina Dow-McClay on the National Party's new renting policy.
Alex, what have you got for us today?
I spoke to Linda Taylor about the evolving role of libraries.
He aha o whakaro. I would love to hear your thoughts on any of our pieces today. So get in touch, tuku pituhi mai, text in on 5395 or wire mai rane. Give us a call in the studio on 309-3879. Ka oa e wariwari e ahe ana koutou te whakarongo ki ene kōrero anohi pakiheri roki roki maurunga i te pai tuku tuku o Erirangi Pōhō. Me haere ki 95BFM era kati.com. You can catch all of these stories on, and more by podcast on the 95BFM website, 95BFM.com.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Karen Chaw.
For our catch-up, I spoke to Karen Chaw about the IRD's High Wealth Individuals Report. Chris Hipkins announcing that the government would not implement any capital gains tax, wealth tax or cyclone tax in this year's budget, and the government's call for cross-party support on a possible congestion charging scheme. Here is that interview. Last week, the Prime Minister announced that the government would not implement any capital gains tax, wealth tax or cyclone tax in this year's budget. What do you think about this decision?
We're actually quite pleased with that decision, because now's not the time to be introducing that kind of tax policy, especially when people are just struggling to keep their heads above water. So we're very glad that this budget is going to hopefully concentrate on the most important things at the moment, and that is making sure that Kiwis can put food on their table.
Also last week, the Inland Revenue Department released a report which found that the 311 wealthiest individuals in this country pay less than half the amount of tax on all their income compared to the average New Zealander. Do you think that this is fair?
Look, in order to be fair, we need to realise that the Inland Revenue Report was only one of three reports that have been released in the last few weeks. So there have also been two other reports. The first report was from Oliver Shaw, by tax accountants Oliver Shaw. The second report was the Treasury Report, and then we had the IRD report. So the first two reports showed that 21% of taxpayers that earn over $70,000 are paying 68% of the tax in this country. So we need to kind of look at this in perspective. We have these big clickbait headlines saying rich people aren't paying enough tax. But what did the IRD actually look into? And we also need to realise that IRD were given $5 million of taxpayer money to produce a report which asked quite a suggestive question, which was around how much have those 311 wealthy people, how much have their assets increased? And so they were looking at paper increases as well. And so, I mean, do we really think that taxing on on paper income is the best way to look at it, considering that that can go up and down quite dramatically. So there's a lot to pick out of the Inland Revenue Report, and a lot of it is seeing the government wanting to look at taxing people on paper gains, and that's quite a scary thought.
So that IRD report looks at capital gains tax, which is largely untaxed in Aotearoa, and that's income from businesses, property, and other investments. So what do you believe is the justification for those capital gains to go largely untaxed?
Yeah, if you were going to introduce a capital gains tax, and the way they were looking at it, we're looking at taxing paper gain as well. And this could affect not just those ultra rich, it could affect just the average New Zealander as well. And we need to be careful with how we're looking at that. And an example that we've used, if you had a medium house price that rose $135,000 in a year, which is what's been happening, The capital gains on that would be around $45,000, and your average New Zealander who's just bought a home, who's going up in prices like that, would not be able to afford that kind of tax. And then the next year, if that goes down in value, is Inland Revenue going to give a credit for the losses? And are we going to look at crediting losses on paper gains as well? And it gets kind of complicated. But if people think that this is only going to aim at the top 300 in this country, they'll be sorely disappointed, and a lot of average New Zealanders that are just trying to stick their head down, bum up and get ahead in life will be affected by this too.
The average New Zealander wouldn't be paying $45,000 in tax. So you've said that you want to help middle income earners, but Revenue Minister David Parker has said that the data from this report has showed fundamental unfairness, and that citizens like nurses and school teachers and hospitality workers, small business owners, the middle income earners are paying a much higher effective tax rate than their wealthier fellow New Zealanders. So why then does your party support a system where middle income earners are paying the most tax?
Yeah, look, we agree that the tax rate that those people are paying is absolutely unfair. I mean, this government has brought in record amount of tax take because the tax rates haven't changed, and people moving up into that $70,000 tax bracket are actually paying a huge chunk of tax, and we do agree with that, and that's what our tax policy looks into, making sure that those people that are sticking their heads down, bum up, and just trying to get on with life aren't paying that ridiculously high rate of tax.
I want to touch on something you said last week, which is that you didn't quite understand how taxing the super wealthy would help the poor. Why do you believe this?
Yeah, like I just said before, we can bring in record amounts of tax, which this government has already done, but we're not seeing results of poverty being fixed, are we? You can't just tax the rich and say that that's going to fix poverty. It's where the money is going, and we're already collecting record amounts of tax, and we need to look at where that money is going and making sure it's actually going to where it's needed the most. Taxing the rich, great, it sounds good, it makes people feel better, but does it actually make a difference?
It's been projected that by this report that Aotearoa is potentially missing out on more than $1 billion of tax revenue. Is this a missed opportunity then to improve Aotearoa's public infrastructure?
Hey, look, there's lots of ways that we can look at our infrastructure, and we've had this conversation before, is around where the money's going, and it's around how the government is distributing some of this tax, especially when it comes to our GST. And so we've had policies, and we're debating policies in Parliament at the moment. Brooke Van Velden is currently got a bill up that would share the GST from new builds to provide for infrastructure within communities. And there are lots of other different ways that Act has looked at how we would fix that. And those are all on our website if people want to know more.
And your party has criticised this report as being an example of tall poppy syndrome. This has been criticised, the stance, as being deflecting from the issue. Do you think that you are deflecting from the main issue that this report brings up?
No, I think that it is a pile on. It's telling people their problems are caused by successful people who, and these people are paying a huge share of what this country uses for infrastructure and for our social policies. So to say that all the problems are caused by not charging rich people enough tax is a bit disingenuous. There are lots of ways that we can fix the problems, and just chasing down and hunting people that have just become a little bit too successful for the government's liking, I find quite offensive.
So then, just to sum up and clarify, you wouldn't support any additional taxes for the ultra-wealthy, but you would maintain the current tax system where middle-income earners are paying the highest effective tax rate?
No, I never said we'd maintain the current tax system. It has an alternative budget, and people are free to look at that on our website to go into more detail. But we do have an alternative budget. We do believe that the tax system is unfair at the moment for a lot of people who are paying far more tax than they need to. And people are we encourage people to have a look at our alternative budget online.
So you would support lowering taxes people pay, but that middle income group would still be paying the highest effective tax rate, even with tax cuts?
Yeah, look, I mean, I don't know how many times I can say that, you know, what we really need to concentrate in on is how we're spending that tax money to make sure that it is going to the right places so that the people that need it the most and the people that are struggling can afford to put food on their table. And I've gone through how we would do that, and that's our policy.
I also just want to move on to another topic, which is the government's calls for cross-party support on a possible congestion charging scheme in large cities like Auckland or Wellington. Is this something that ACT would support?
Yeah, so I mean, there's been a proposal put up around congestion charging, Land Transport Management Amendment Bill, and we've looked at that, and ACT agrees that, you know, we accept charging motorists for using roads at peak times. That could be quite beneficial. But what's being proposed, we don't see how this is going to achieve what the government is saying they're trying to achieve. So the congestion charge proposed would add an additional cost to motorists and road users that would not necessarily create any additional capacity on the roads or better roads or less congestion, really, because the money that's being brought in from those charges aren't actually going to be put back into those roads. They could be used for all kinds of things, and it's really unclear and extremely vague about where that money is going to go. So ACT has an alternative policy around congestion and how we could improve our roads, but we're looking forward to listening to what the government's trying to propose, and we're looking forward to hearing more about how they can make it a bit more clear on where those charges and levies are going to go, because this is an additional cost onto motorists, and many already can't afford the fuel in their car. So we need to make sure that it is actually going to achieve something.
National has said that they would support congestion charging if the 10 cent per litre fuel tax is scrapped. Is this something that ACT would call for as well?
Yeah, so that's also part of our alternative proposal, looking at different ways that we could achieve this and replacing fuel taxes, because you can't have both. Adding that additional cost could just cripple some of the people who we're trying to help the most in this country. So we need to make sure that we're finding a balance and we're not outpricing people so that they can't even afford to get on the road.
Scrapping the fuel tax could mean that more people would be incentivised to use a private vehicle, I guess, therefore potentially not reducing congestion. Can you explain how ACT would instead reduce congestion?
It should be focusing people on reconsidering their travel they're focusing on people reconsidering their travel habits. A congestion charge, let's be honest, is about raising revenue so that you can come up with alternatives and a solution to the congestion problem. And if you're not going to be putting the funds raised into specific areas to change the problem, then we're actually not going to get anywhere. So we need to make sure that the levy that is set, if they are going to do this, actually comes up with solutions to the problem, whether it be specifically put into land transport for better buses or better roads, bigger, more lanes. They need to be a bit more clear about where this revenue is going to be going.
So would ACT then support investing in public transport to make it more reliable and potentially affordable for people?
Yeah, so ACT has an alternative solution. It's replacing fuel taxes with road pricing. And we think that it'd be a bit more fair and that we'd be able to allocate the money into things like that to allow people to have more choice. It would allow transport operators to plan transport demand down to the minute because they know where people are and what people are doing, and they'd be able to provide signals to councils where new roads and public transport services are needed. And I think this is a better way to achieve the goal that this government is trying to achieve.
That was ACT's Karen Chua discussing capital gains tax and congestion charges.
That was our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Karen Chua.
It's time for our weekly chat with Te Pāti Māori's Takutai Kim.
For their weekly catch-up, Hannah Thompson spoke to Te Pāti Māori's Takutai Kemp about the same IRD report as well as the underfunding of Kura. She started their interview by asking whether Aotearoa's wealthiest paying half in taxes than the average person does points to a need for tax reform.
So what we say in Te Pāti Māori is that we need to shift the tax burden through new taxes on wealth, including capital gains, ghost house tax, financial services tax, as well as land and pollution taxes. So we believe in we need a tax. We need to change the current tax system because it is, you know, those of us at the lower working class end are paying more tax. I went to that pre-budget launch for the Prime Minister on Friday, which was run by EMA. And the Prime Minister called the pre-budget a no-frills budget. So there was literally nothing in it, but what he did say, there was going to be no new taxes and no increases on taxes, which means that the wealthy will continue, you know, to be paying less tax than the rest of us. It's suffice to say that the tax system really needs to be overturned and to re-looked at.
The government under Jacinda Ardern ruled out any sort of capital gains tax, but with the change in prime ministers, you would hope that tax reform or actually just introducing a capital gains tax could be put on the table.
Well, in his pre-budget hui on Friday, he said there was going to be no new taxes introduced. So there's no new taxes. So it will continue to be the same with the wealthy paying less tax than the rest of us. We don't think it's good enough. It's Pāti Māori because we do need to tax the wealthy. It's unfair and unjust that the poor working class people are subsidising the lifestyles of the rich.
So in government or just in parliament, Te Pāti Māori would be pushing for tax reform?
Yeah, well, we say that Te Pāti Māori is the only political party whose tax cuts aren't for the rich. So we're looking at tax reform, taxing the wealthy to be able to subsidise some of those social programs that we need to be running. I mean, this even takes into account, you know, Rāwiri's bill, taking away GST off kai. It's a huge priority for us.
You mentioned that tax reform could lead to more money with which you could fund social policies. And I guess just sort of points to this element of, like, it's not only like a fairness or a justice issue that those with the most are being taxed the least, But there's also this gap shrinks the tax pool that's available to government when designing policy, right?
Definitely. But there's got to be some change. And again, based on the Prime Minister's pre-budget launch, there is no new taxes and no increase in tax that he is talking about for this budget coming up in May.
What other social policies could be funded if there was more money available for them?
Look, if there was more money available, you could devolve some of this funding back out into communities that can deliver different programs of need in their communities. Like out here, so like if we think about the cost of living, Manurewa Marae was never meant to be a food bank. And Manurewa Marae has become the largest food bank in South Auckland, where they are delivering or producing anywhere between 500 and 700 food parcels just for people living in Manurewa a week. And these programs are not funded. But we all know that kai is such a big problem. The cost of living is a problem. It could pay for social programs that would help reduce the cost of living.
Or even just in this social welfare law paper that I'm doing at the moment, we talked about how charity, or like the need for charity, sort of indicates a policy failure in some ways.
Yes, there's massive policy failure. Again, the same people are impacted. You know, the most vulnerable, the most hard to reach, those living in, that are low income earners. Even now, when I think about some of the people who we would never see come to the food bank at Manurewa Marae, you're seeing. You know, families with two incomes are struggling. And there's, like I said, the Prime Minister has announced there is no new taxes, no increase in taxes for the wealthy. So it's going to be a huge effort for parties like Te Pāti Māori to push our tax reform kaupapa.
Just moving on to the Kura Kaupapa claim in the Waitangi Tribunal, the Tribunal recently announced that it will be hearing a claim from the body which oversees Kura Kaupapa Māori later this month. The claim alleges that these schools, which teach in Te Reo Māori and are embedded in Te Ao Māori, are underfunded compared to the mainstream education system to the extent that they're not actually enabled to flourish. This claim seems to overlap with a lot of the issues that Te Pāti Māori has identified in its education policy, right?
Yeah, and I can give you a real-life example of a kura kaupapa that is underfunded. And based here on the at the back of Manurewa Marae, there is a whare kura here. It has classrooms that have been here since its inception, since it was established 20 plus years ago. They're still the same. There's been no, you know, maintenance on these buildings. There is no, you know, when I think about kura or going to school, you want to go to a place that is an environment that is great for learning, that will excel your learning. And a lot of our kura are in prefabs that have come from other schools who have got new buildings. So we have a whare kura here that is in the same, has been in the same situation for 20 plus years. And for the last 20 years, plus years, this whare kura had been fighting for a new school. During the middle of COVID, they finally were given the opportunity to build a new school. So in 2024, that's the time frame, a new school will be built. But it's taken 20 plus years to get this over the line. And, you know, mainstream schools don't have to put up with the same, I guess, bureaucracy and policy around new builds, new classrooms, all those sorts of things. You know, we say at Te Pāti Māori that we need to have our own standalone education system, just like we have with the Māori Health Authority, that we have the same line of governance for Māori education.
It seems like these issues faced by Kura, like lacking resources to fix school buildings for, you know, 20 years, or even teacher shortages in these schools, they sort of seem like issues that are faced in the general education system, but much more pronounced by the marginalisation of Mātauranga Māori learning. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah, everything's harder out here when you're Māori. You've got to fight harder. And if we went back to the principles of Te Riti, and we should not be in this situation. Like I said, we didn't cede our realm.